We're on Daf Tzadi Dalet Amud Beis, and we're up to Itmar, and that's 9 lines up from the bottom of the Amud. Achsadra Bibika. So we said in the past that an achsadra is a seal, it's a ceiling held up by four poles that's open on all sides, and now it's inside a bika, which is an area that's called a karmelis. Are you allowed to carry within, underneath the ceiling of the achsadra? And this depends upon the principle called pi tikra yored vesose. Rav Amar, according to Rav, mutal metaltu bekula. Shmuel Amar ein metaltu ba el arba amos. Rav Amar mutal metaltu bekula. Damrinam pi tikra yored vesose. So we can close it on all four sides from the edge of the tikra going down with those imaginary mechitzos. And Shmuel denies it. Now, according to this version of Shmuel, it could, as we discussed at great length yesterday, Shmuel doesn't deny the halacha l'moshe b'sinai, the fundamental principle of pi tikra, but he doesn't want to apply it. He's not willing to apply it in four mechitzos. If you had three mechitzos and you needed pi tikra for the fourth, or Rashi Shita in Shmuel is that even if you had one mechitza and you wanted to apply pi tikra to three out of four mechitzas, you would do so. In any event, the Gemara now is going to present two lishnos, two transmissions of the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. The first lishna is Be eser kuliyamalo pligi, which means that even Shmuel would accept the principle of pi tikra yored v'sosem, even on all four mechitzos, as long as the opening is up to but not beyond eser amos. Eser amos, and less of course, is considered a pesach as opposed to a pirtza. And therefore, it still has the context of a mechitza, could still become a mechitza. And in this case, Shmuel would agree that we apply pi tikra yored v'sosem times four, because we don't have a pirtza of more than 10 amos. So what is then the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel? If according to this first lishna, even Shmuel accepts the principle of pi tikra even times four to close off an achsadra on all four sides, ki pligi yeser miyeser amos. What if the distance between the poles on all sides that are holding up this tikra, in the case of an achsadra, are distant from each other by more than 10 amos? If they're more than 10 amos, that's not a mechitza, that's an open area, that's called a pirtza. And here Shmuel is going to insist that if you don't have even the beginning of a mechitza, you cannot apply the principle of pi tikra. Whereas Rav says, it doesn't matter. Pi tikra means I have a ceiling, I have a tikra, each side of the tikra has its edge, and from the edge, I draw mechitzos, imaginary mechitzos, all the way down. That's the first lishna. So then, just to summarize, the first lishna has it that even Shmuel would accept pi tikra as it applies four times to close off four mechitzos around an achsadra, set up the achsadra as a reshus hayochid, but only on the condition that the distance between the edges of this tikra, meaning the poles on each side that are holding up the tikra, is 10 amos or less. So if it's 10 amos or less, then even Shmuel would agree, according to this first lishna, that we apply pi tikra times four. The machlokas between Rav and Shmuel addresses the case where the opening and the distance between the poles on each side that are holding up this tikra are, the distance is more than 10 amos. Ika the Amri, according to the second lishna, however, be yeser kuliyamalo pligi, Rav would agree that if the distance between the poles on each side is more than 10 amos, which is a pirtza, you don't even have the beginning of any sort of a structure such that the tikra could now in a sense, encompass that structure by applying the principle of Pitikra. Rav would agree to Shmuel, if the Pirtza and the distance is greater than 10 Amos, we do not apply the principle of Pitikra Yorid Vesosim. Ki Pligi, the Machlokas, is Be'esa, meaning up to 10 Amos. If the distance between the poles on each side is up to, but not beyond 10 Amos, here we have Machlokas. Rav is willing to apply Pitikra Yorid Vesosim times 4 to close all four sides of the Tikra, of the Achsadra, whereas Shmuel would hold, no. The limitation, as we said earlier, to Pitikra is that you have at least minimal one mechitza, one real bona fide physical mechitza that you can see with your eyes. The Gemara now, on the top of Daf Tzadihei and Aleph, is going to present a shita of Rav Yehuda, and the Gemara is going to try to work out Rav Yehuda with either Rav or Shmuel, or maybe even both, according to these two Lashonos that we had. V'hadi Amar Rav Yehuda, Kora Arba Matir B'churva. Now we have a churva. A churva is literally translated as a rune, but for our purposes, the churva is an area that has really no mechitzos and no tikra. I mean, it's in such a ruin that all you see is like the vestiges of what once was a structure. The churva opens up into a rishus harabim, and therefore it has the status of a karmelis. It's not a rishus harabim gemura doraisa because it's separated from the rest of the rishus harabim, but nevertheless, it has the status of a karmelis because it opens up into rishus harabim. Is there any way, without making a structural change and a whole renovation, of allowing tiltal inside the churva? And Rabbi Yehuda says, yes, but it's a knapper yes, it's only a partial yes. What happens is that on the facade of this, the outer facade of this churva, you have a korah, a beam, and that beam, we're not sure exactly how long it is, but it definitely has four tvachim. Now, a beam, of course, has edges on all four sides. You know, you can talk about the front side, you can talk about the sides, the back side. So depending upon how wide, let's say, going into the churva, this korah is. So, for example, as I enter the korah, into the churva, my head is covered by the korah up on top for a distance as I penetrate into deeper into the churva of a minimum of four tefachim, possibly even more than that. I can carry within the churva, says Rabbi Yehuda, as long as I'm carrying underneath the korah. Again, that doesn't give me a great deal of space, but it gives me some amount of space. And under the churva, in the churva, but underneath the korah, I'm going to apply the principle of Pitikra Yorid Vesosim on the four edges of this korah. And that means that Rabbi Yehuda validates Pitikra times four on all four sides. I mean, there's no mechitza whatsoever. And Rabbi Yehuda goes a step further, and he tells me we can have a situation where a person is in a yam has the din of a karmelis, but above him there's a korah, and the korah is being held up on different sides by poles. And underneath the korah, he's allowed to carry. Again, as I said before, it doesn't give him a lot of leeway, but nevertheless, underneath the korah, we sort of carve out an area which is no longer part of the yam, and it doesn't have the status with karmelis because we're going to take this korah and we're going to imagine mechitzas going down on all four sides. So the area underneath the korah is now surrounded by four mechitzas, has the status of Rosh Hashayach. So korah arba matir b'churva, and that was the statement of Yehuda. Now Rav Nachman, in the name of Rabbi Baravua, takes it even a step further, meaning applies it to a different scenario. Korah arba matir b'mayin. So let's say, for example, you remember this case that we had a few blot ago about two chatzeros, and in between the two chatzeros there's a bar, there's some sort of cistern, and each one of the bali chatzeros on the right and the left wants to draw water from the cistern. So the law is that if you place a korah, lay it down flat on the top of this bar, and the korah has a minimum width of 4 tefachim, we're going to apply the principle of pi tikra yorid v'sosem, and the water underneath this korah has the status of Rishus HaYochid. Even though, before he set up this korah that's flat on the top surface of the bar and laid it down, you would not be allowed to draw water from the bar because the bar has its status of a karmelis. How do I convert this bar into Rishus HaYochid? Says Rav Nachman, the name of Rama, simply by putting a korah flat down, laying on the opening of this bar. And therefore, Rav Nachman and Rava are willing to apply the principle of pi tikra yorid v'sosem on all four sides, underneath this korah, simply because the korah has the minimum shear of 4 tefachim. Now, why do we require that minimum shear of 4 tefachim? That's a famous Rashi on Daf Pei Vav. It's quoted all over the place, without, you know, from the beginning and the end to Masecht Erevin. And Rashi's of the opinion that a mechitza cannot be considered a mechitza unless it surrounds and fences off an area of a minimum of 4 tefachim. Less than 4 tefachim is not a makom chashuv, and therefore the mechitza that surrounds such a place is not called a mechitza. The mechitza has to surround a makom chashuv which has the minimum shear of 4 tefachim. In any event, Mani, the Gemara wants to know, can we reconcile Rav Yehuda, and for that matter, Rav Nachman and Rabba with, and here we have three possibilities, Rav, Shmuel, or both of them? The Gemara says it really depends upon the two Lashonos that we have, the Lishna Basra and the Lishna Kama, of the Machlok Shin Rav and Shmuel. Lahach Lishna, according to that presentation, that the Amir who holds, that the Eser Lo Pligi, which means that even Shmuel is willing to validate pi tikra yorid v'sosem times 4, as long as you have a vestige of a mechitza. It's not a piritza completely, it's not completely open. It's an area that to some extent is set aside because it has a pesach and not a piritza, which means up to but not beyond eser amos, in terms of the distance between the two poles, as we discussed before. Is then Divri HaKol, then Rav Yehuda and Rav Nachman following him, can be reconciled even with Shmuel, despite the fact that both Rav Yehuda and Rav Nachman are applying the principle of Pitikra to a Korah on all four sides, setting up 4 imaginary mechitzas going from the top to the bottom. Nevertheless, even Shmuel would accept that if we go with that Lishna, that Kuliyamalo Pligi, there was never a machlok between Rav and Shmuel in a case of up to Eser Amos. However, Lahach Lishna di Amrit Eser Pligi be Eser Pligi. If you're going to tell me that the distance is up to Eser, and there what we have is a sheet of Shmuel, and Shmuel says that even though it's technically a Pesach, not a Piritza, but nevertheless, it's invalid to create a Rishus HaYochid because I cannot and I will not apply Pi Tikra Yorid V'Sosem on all four sides. If that be the case, then Kirav, meaning it goes without saying, hands down, that there's no way of reconciling Rabbi Yehuda and Rav Nachman with Shmuel, because Shmuel denies the possibility of applying Pi Tikra Yorid V'Sosem 4 times around, and therefore in the case of the Korah, where there are no mechitzas whatsoever, just the pi tikra on all sides, Shmuel would certainly invalidate it. And we can now reconcile, and we have only that option, to reconcile Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nachman with Rav. So that at the end of the day, the Gemara leaves it as an open-ended question without coming to any definite conclusion as to whether Shmuel would accept Pi Tikra Yorid V'Sosem times 4. And in terms of the technique of the Gemara, The nafkamina will be whether or not we can reconcile Rabbi Yehuda in the case of Korah, and for that matter of Nachman in the case of the Korah on top of the bar of Mayim, with the sheet of Shmuel. If we assume, according to that Lishna, that Shmuel denies and rejects the possibility of applying Pitikra Yorid Vesosem, going with that Lishna, Shita of Rav Yehuda and Rav Nachman is irreconcilable with Shmuel. You cannot have a Korah that will set up a Rishus HaYochid below the Korah simply because of Pitikra, because then you'd be applying Pitikra on all four sides. Now, at this point in this sugya, the Gemara is going to present a machlokus between Abai v'Rava. And lema Abai v'Rava biplugta derav Ushmul kamifgi. Can we match up the machlokes between Abai v'Rava that we're about to learn with the machlokes between Rav and Shmuel? De'itmar, we have a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel in the laws of Sukkah. Sukkah, of course, requires two full-fledged defanos of 10 tefachim and a dofen shlishis of a minimum of a tefach. Now we have a case of an achsadra. Now Rashi, here in this sugya, interprets achsadra in a way that's different than what we saw back on Daf Tzadi Gimel. There in Tzadi Gimel, Rashi said that the achsadra was not open on all four sides. It was an achsadra between two buildings. So we had the facades of those two buildings. So we already had two mechitzas, and we only needed to set up a third mechitza. And in that case, we set up even a fourth mechitza. However, Rashi here, in our Sugyan Erevin on Daf Tzadihei, interprets Achsadra in a different way. The Achsadra is actually open on all four sides. And now the question is, if he puts Schach on the top of the Achsadra, we called it a pergola, such that if we apply the principle of Pi Tikra Yod Vesosim times four, then we have four defanos. And therefore the sukkah underneath this achsadra, once he puts the schach on top, is a sukkah kshera. Or shall we say no? We don't apply Pi Tikra times four. Hence, this could not be a sukkah kshera. And that really, in effect, which is going to be a machlok shina bai varova, depends upon the machlokas Rav and Shmuel. So now what we have is, we have columns on each side, and they are called amudim, or in Aramaic, ptsimim, and they are set up kvua, they are established as something permanent, as mechitzos. Can we, that's going to be the issue, can we rely on them as mechitzos? And how many ptsimim do we have? It's not clear from the Gemara, but one thing is clear from Rashi. Rashi says that the distance between each one of these ptsimim is less than 3 tefachim, meaning it's 2.9 tefachim, and therefore we apply the principle of love. So we view and we define these simim as if they're sasum, as if the open space between them is plugged up, it's closed, through the technique or principle of lovu. And kshera, in this case, everybody agrees. There's no question between Abai v'Rava that the achsadra is kshera as a sukkah, because the simim now form defanos all around the achsadra, insofar as these simim are close in approximation one to the other, 2.9 tefachim, we apply love. What is the machlokas Abai v'Rava? Ein la ptsimim. There are no amudim. We don't have these amudim that are situated one next to the other at a distance of 2.9 tefachim. But rather we have poles that are holding up the schach. It's like a chuppah. Abai omer k'shera. In other words, Abai is willing to apply the principle of Pi Tikra Yod Vesosim on all four sides. V'Rava Amar P'sula. Abai Omer Ksheira Amrinim Pitikri Yor V'Sosim. Ravar Apsula Delo Amrinim Pitikri Yor V'Sosim. Lema Abai Kerav V'Rava Kishmuel. So at this point, the Sugya thinks it's really very smooth, and the Machlokas Abai V'Rava is just a repeat of an earlier Machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. And Shmuel rejects Pi Tikra on all four sides. You can't have an Echsadja that's open on all four sides and call it a Rishus HaYochid. There are no Mechitos that surround this Echsadja. Hence, the Sukkah is a Sukkah Psula. And that's exactly what Rava says. But Abai says the Sukkah is a Sukkah Kshera, and he's reflecting the Shita of Rav, because Rav is of the opinion that we're willing to apply Pi Tikra Yor V'Sosim on all four sides, and set up the Echsadra as a Rishus HaYochid. And by the way, it's not just Rav. In essence, Abai is representing the Shitos of Rav Yehuda, Rav Nachman, and Rava, the entire cadre of Amoraim, all of whom said, in the case of a Korah, we're going to establish a Rishus HaYochid under the Korah because of Pitikra on all four sides. And if we apply that logically to the case of an Echsadra that's open on all four sides, we have Pitikra that sets up Mechitos, and underneath the Tikra, we have a Rishus HaYochid, and in the case of a Sukkah, we have a Sukkah of Schach, which is surrounded on all four sides by Mechitos. And in that sense, I point out that I'm a little bit uncomfortable with Rava, because although the Gemara identifies Rava with the Sheet of Shmuel, in this particular case, it seems like the bulk and the flow of the Amoraim was ra 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 for Rav. And to say that Abaye reflects the Shita of Rav, whereas Rava reflects the Shita of Shmuel, makes us a little bit uncomfortable, because we always paskin like Rava against Abaye, with maybe six exceptions. And this seems to be another exception where we should really accept the Shita of Rav, of Abaye. Gemara says the following: Aliba de Shmuel kuli amalo pligi. Both Abai and Rav are going to agree that according to Shmuel, there's no way, no how, that you could be machshir this sukkah because Shmuel does not validate Pitikra times four. But ki pligi aliba de Rav. Wow, this is exciting. What the Gemara is about to embark upon is the possibility of reconciling Rava in the case of Sukkah with the Shita of Rav. In other words, that even though Rav accepts Pi Tikra Yorid V'Sosim times four, setting up an Achsadra or a Korah in the cases of Rav Yehuda and Rav Nachman as a Rishus HaYochid because of the Pi Tikra on all four sides, nevertheless, Rav is going to insist that Rav himself would agree that the Sukkah is a Sukkah Psula. And this is what we call a Din Miyuchad, meaning there's going to be a separate halach in Sukkah that is going to undermine the possibility of applying Pi Tikra times four. And the Gemara says the following: Aliba de Rav is Abaye Kirav, meaning if you're going according to Rav Shita, that you can apply Pi Tikra times four, and underneath the Echsadra we have a bona fide Rishus HaYochid surrounded by four Mechitzos, then Abaye certainly reflects the Shita of Rav, and in the exact identical situation as Sukkah, when you have Schach, and there are no Mechitzos underneath the Schach, you're going to apply Pi Tikra on the four sides of the Schach, hence the Sukkah is a Sukkah Kshera. So certainly, it's very smooth to identify Abaye with Rav. However, the Rav is going to maintain, Ad kan lo kama Rav Hossam. When does Rav say that Pi Tikra Yod V'Sosen can be applied four times over, like in the case of the Echsadra in the Bikkur? So when you're talking about Shabbos, and you're talking about the Iser of Tiltal on Shabbos, in an area that is a Carmelis, Rav is going to say that, okay, you have a general area that's a Carmelis, but in the middle of the Carmelis, you've got an Echsadra, and because of the Tikra, I can apply Pi Tikra Yor V'Sosim, and I can, in a sense, set off that area in the Carmelis, in the Bikkur, as a Rishus HaYochid. That's a Shabbos halacha, and Pi Tikra is going to apply four times over. However, Ella, that is going to apply on Shabbos, and the reason for that is Hani Mechitzos Lachsadra Avidi, which means the following. When he set up this Achsadra, a roof, in the middle of a Bikkur, he did so for the purpose of using that area underneath the roof of the Achsadra for his own personal purposes. And whatever he does inside of that, he is separating that area from the general area around it, namely the Bikkur. So that we can look at this Pitikur Yored V'Sosem as Liachsadra Avidi. It's all, in a way, enhancing the Achsadra. Again, it's only an imaginary kind of enhancement, but we are enhancing the Achsadra by surrounding the Achsadra on all four sides with Mechitzos, and those were set up as Mechitzos Gemuros, for the purpose of serving as Mechitzos. Aval Hach, but here with regard to Sukkah, says Rava, even Rav would agree that Pitikra is not going to help you to set up a valid Sukkah based on Pitikra, because you have a Schach on top of your open area. Dahani Mechitzos Lav L'Sukkah Avidi, and therefore lo. In the case of Sukkah, we have a special halacha that we need that the Dufanos of the Sukkah was set up for the express purpose of the Sukkah. And we're lacking that condition, and therefore we don't apply the principle of Pitikri or Visose. So I just want to read to you a summary of the Ritva and the Meiri. They try to enhance our understanding. He says, "Afal gav di ein tzorech lasos mechitzos l'shem mitzvah sukkah." We never found a prerequisite in the laws of schach that it's only a chal shem schach kosher if it was mechitzos that was set up specifically for the purpose of the mitzvah sukkah. The schach has to be set up for the purpose of the mitzvah sukkah, but not the mechitzos. If I find an area that's surrounded by mechitzos, for whatever reason, it could be, a couple of buildings on Fifth Avenue in New York. I mean, they weren't built for the sake of a sukkah. And I can put up schach on top that would go from one mechitza to the other. The sukkah is a sukkah kshera. Mikol makom, he says, ein makilin kol kach in Pitikra to set it up as mechitza. And here, I think we just, on a mathematical level, we can ask the following chakira. When we say Pitikra Yored V'Sosem, is that a mechitza gemura, or is it an imaginary mechitza? It's not really a mechitza gemura. I mean, if you can give an example, we had a machlokes with regard to gagos at the beginning of this perek, right? So you have two gagos that are contiguous one to the other, one flows into the other, and you can't see any of the mechitzas that are below from the perspective of the gag, so that according to at least Rav Shita, you don't apply go to Asik Mechitzos if the Mechitzos ain't a Nikeris. So we see that when it comes to these imaginary Mechitzos, we have all sorts of requirements. We once discussed, if you recall, Shasivi Orev, that in order to have a bona fide Mechitza and apply go to Asik, we need that the Mechitza have both vertical and horizontal areas that surround the mechitza, and many, many other things. We said a mechitza has to be set up for the purpose of the inside and not for the outside. Many different conditions that apply to imaginary mechitzas. And here we have, in Hilchas Sukkah, an example of mechitzos that, although, according to the strict principles that apply to mechitzos, we have mechitzos, and Pitikra Yored V'Sosem, because again, we're going to Rav. Rav has no inhibitions about applying Pitikra times four. But nevertheless, in Sukkah, when you're applying Pitikra, which is not a mechitza gemura, I don't see the mechitzos, then at least the barest condition that has to be met is that those mechitzos were l'shem Sukkah. And if it wasn't l'shem Sukkah, then it's lacking in that element of the mitzvah of Sukkah. What we're saying here, and again, this is the Ritva, And we'll see the Meiri, how he embellishes this. In Sukkah, there's an element of mitzvah, meaning it's not just a secular structure like on Shabbos. We just want to know, is it Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, set up mechitzas, don't set up mechitzas. I mean, you're not going to make a bracha of Shachiyonu v'kimonu v'giyonu in order to set up mechitzas. But in the case of Sukkah, where the Torah says, Tasa, right, make a sukkah for yourself, there are elements of mitzvah that enter into the picture. For example, the schach has to be set up for the purpose of the mitzvah of sukkah. Otherwise, it's not schach. In the case of the mechitzos, we don't care if the mechitzos were set up for the sake of sukkah, if they're real, bona fide, physical, material mechitzos. But if you're dealing with imaginary mechitzos, then the Ritva says, in sukkah, in order to set up and generate a shem mechitzos for those mechitzos that imagine I can't even see, you have to say that it was there for in some extent for the sake of the mitzvah of sukkah. The Meiri says that hatam she'ein omrim kan b'schach pi tikra yor v'sosem. He says lefi she'binyan aroyhu ve'ilu pi tikra omrim dafka b'tikra kvua. He says the following, that in the case of an achsadra, where Rav says you have a rishus hayochid bona fide, the tikra is called a tikra kvua. The achsadra is set up to function, and you benefit from it during the entire course of the year. It's not a kind of flimsy, temporary kind of thing. And therefore, we could apply, says Rav, p tikra times four. But in the case of sukkah, when we're dealing with the tikra ara'it, meaning he's only setting up this schach on a temporary basis for the purpose of sukkah, here we need real defanos, not these imaginary defanos of P. Tikra. Now again, all this is addressing a scenario where there are no ptsimim, if you recall, where it's just a tikra that's being held up by poles, but there are no ptsimim. Omnam, im yesh lach sadra simim amudim she'ein b'neim revach shel shloshet tfachim. And now we're going to apply again an imaginary halacha called lavud mo'ilim heim. You see from the Gemara that would be, according to everyone, a valid sukkah, and it's considered a dofen l'sukkah fal pishlo nasa l'shem sukkah. Again, it's a secondary kind of mechitza, and it wasn't put up there for the purpose of a sukkah. But lefisha heim ki mechitza stuma midin lavud is therefore mechitza midin lavud mechitza gemurihi v'ein tzarch la'asos l'shem sukkah. Fascinating. You know, within the context of imaginary mechitzos, we have two different categories. There are certain imaginary mechitzos that are considered, in a sense, inferior quality, second-rate mechitzos, and they require, in the case of sukkah, l'shem sukkah. And then you can have an imaginary sukkah, an imaginary mechitza, where it's considered a mechitza gemura, and it's not different than a real bona fide physical material mechitza, and you don't require these conditions of l'shem sukkah. And that's the case of lavud. And lavud is being placed into a new category. What it means is that in lavud, this is the way we relate to two things that are closely related. You put up these ptsimim, and they're close to each other, and they surround the sukkah, holding up the schach, in the case of the achsadra, we view it as if it was closed on all sides. It's a mechitza gemura. We never require that a mechitza gemura would not have certain open space within the mechitza, as long as it's reasonable to assume that that open space is not much to be reckoned with. You know, it's not a serious open space, it's less than lavud, then we can accept that as a mechitza gemura. Now, at this point, the Gemara goes back to the Seifa of our Mishnah. The Mishnah had discussed, if you remember, Chatzah Shenifritza L'Shus HaRabim, Abayah Shenifritza. We spoke about Karen Zavis at great length yesterday. You know, exactly what kind of Pirtza it was. Was it more than Eser Amos, less than Eser Amos? Was it in the corner? Was it a Tikra Balakzon? That whole discussion. That was the Reisha of the Mishnah. The Seifa of the Mishnah discusses the fundamental issue of a bona fide mechitza that fell upon on Shabbos. And the Mishnah records a machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rabbi Yossi turns to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says that at the outset of Shabbos, this mechitza was standing healthy and solid. It was a mechitza gemura. And based on that mechitza, we allowed carrying in that area that was surrounded by mechitzas. It's a bona fide rishus hayoch. Now at 12 noon on Shabbos, the mechitza is gone. Says Rabbi Yehuda, that's irrelevant, because the heta tiltel that was established at the onset of Shabbos is chal for the entire period of 24 hours. Rabbi Yossi turns to him, he says, Mimonashach, I don't understand. If you're telling me that it's mutter for the balance of this Shabbos, what about next Shabbos? Rabbi Yehuda admits, he goes on record as saying, that next Shabbos you're going to have to fix this kosel up, and the pirtza has to be corrected. Well, says Rabbi Yossi, if it's a Shabbos halacha, then apply it universally from one Shabbos to the other. Iboilu the Gemara as a sofek. Rabbi Yossi lesser o lahatir. Did Rabbi Yossi mean to say that just like you, Rabbi Yehuda, admit that next Shabbos it's going to be asur, therefore this Shabbos it's also asur, midway at 12 noon on Shabbos? Or did he mean to say that just like you, Rabbi Yehuda, are matir on this Shabbos when it fell, you should be matir on the next Shabbos? So the Rishonim go to town over here. How could it be that the Gemara had a serious suffix here, that maybe what Rabbi Yossi was saying is that if this mechitza fell in the middle of Shabbos, and he was attacking Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that the heta tiltel is chal for the entire balance of the Shabbos, how would that apply to the next Shabbos? I mean, what kind of argument and what kind of objection was Rabbi Yossi raising against Rabbi Yehuda? It's not a fair objection. The issue is, Kevin Shehutra Hutra, does the heta that was chal ben hashmashos extend and encompass the entire 24-hour period of Shabbos? What does that have to do with next Shabbos? Next Shabbos, a whole new entity, a whole new Kiddush Sayyot. What I found here is that although the Rishonim don't seem to really give us an ample justification of the Havamina, that maybe Rabbi Yossi meant to be, you know, that according to Rabbi Yehuda, he should be matir for next Shabbos, but I do find here in the note an attempt made by the Sfas Emes. And he writes that Savra Gemara Shelo Nechlak Rabbi Yossi al Rabbi Yehuda Legabi Chotzer Obayis Shenifritza El Rak Legabi Movui Shenitla Koroso O Lechio. The Mishnah records a machlokas, the machlokas that we're dealing with between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi, in three different scenarios. One is a chotzer shenifritza, meaning on Shabbos, one of the mechitzas of the chotzer collapsed. Bayis shenifritza, there was a breach in the mechitzas of the bayis on Shabbos. And then the third case is the mavui case, which means that a mavui needs either a lechi or a kora at the entranceway to the mavui to be matir tiltel in the mavui. And once again, the Mishnah records a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi in the case of a korah or a mavi that fell on Shabbos at the entranceway into the mavui. On Erev Shabbos, we were matir tiltul the mavui, and we relied on the korah that was healthy going into Shabbos. But on Shabbos itself, the korah is no longer there. It completely vanished off the face of the earth. Can I continue carrying and allowing carrying in the mavui? Here's where Rabbi Yossi actually raised the logical possibility that according to Rabbi Yehuda, if he's going to be matir as if the korah was still up there, or the lechi, on this Shabbos, to rely on that for the next Shabbos. My high, says the Sfas Emes in a very abridged sentence, he doesn't say much, he says, Sover Rabbi Yossi in analyzing the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, that Rabbi Yehuda was saying, Shachein tiknu chachomim lasos b'movi lechi o kora l'shem heker. What does that mean, l'shem heker? We want to separate the mavui from the Rishus HaRabim, which is immediately contiguous to the mavui. Chas v'shalom, we don't want to see a case where a situation where people start carrying the Mavui and then they exit from the Mavui into the Rishus HaRab. And that would be tantamount to violating an Issa d'Oraisa, assuming the Mavui, which is a fair assumption, is surrounded by mechitzos. It may be open on one side, but three mechitzos should be enough to generate a shame Rishus HaYachid. So in order to remind people that this is a Mavui, separate from Rishus HaRabim, the Chacham required a Heker. Two alternative possibilities, either a Heker of a Korah or a Heker of a Lechi. Im Naflu Liachar Mikan, if on one occasion, entering into Shabbos, there was a Lechi or a Korah, and then it fell subsequently, Lo Hitzrichu Lasosa Shenis. In other words, for this Shabbos, I already have my Heker. And once I have my Heker, then the Mavui, which in and of itself, on a Doraisa level, doesn't require any Tikkun because it's got three solid Mechitzos that surround it. It's a bona fide Rishus HaYachid. The Rabbanon are afraid that it'll carry it out into Rishus HaRabim. They required a Heker. So that Heker will last for the balance of Shabbos. Says it's Fasemes. The Gemara thinks that Rabbi Yossi is accusing of Rabbi Yehuda that if this Heker is valid for this Shabbos, it should be valid for next Shabbos, which means that the Heker is Aloch in the Mavui. You know, the Mavui is like an entity. And once I set up a Heker for the Mavui, the way Rabbi Yossi understood Rabbi Yehuda, that Heker is now transforms the Mavui into a Mavui Sheyesh Bo Heker, such that even if the Korah or the Lechi go down, it still remains and retains its status as a Mavui Sheyesh Lo Heker. Nu, if that be the case, then be consistent and apply that straight across the board, and from now on till doomsday, this Mavui should never need a Korah to replace the original Korah. On a psychological level, it makes no sense, because it could be that Reuven and Shimon were there at the onset of Shabbos and they were using the Mavui, but Levi and Yehuda, they showed up in the middle of Shabbos. As far as they're concerned, there was never a Korah or a Lechi as far as this Mavui is concerned. But we're not interested in, you know, in working out all the... We don't have to work out all the minutiae, all the details of who and when, and did he see the Korah, did he not see the Korah. We're in a halachic universe in which we define the Mavui. Is it a Mavui that has a Korah or doesn't have a Korah? And Rabbi Yehuda says it has a Korah. I don't see the Korah. And certainly Levi and Yehuda came in, they didn't see a Korah. No, it has a Korah. In other words, the Rabbanon set it up in such a way that once you have your Korah vis-a-vis this Mavui, the Mavui now takes on a new status. Okay, that's the Sfas Emes. The Gemara rejects this completely, but I just wanted to mention the Sfas Emes' explanation of the Hava Mina of the Gemara. Omer Rav Sheish v'chein Omer Rav Yochanan Lesar. What Rabbi Yossi had in mind was that if you agree, Rabbi Yehuda, that next Shabbos it's Osir, then it should be Shabbos, this Shabbos as well it should be Osir. Because obviously you're not recognizing the Mechitza that existed on Erev Shabbos for next Shabbos. You shouldn't recognize for this Shabbos the balance of the Shabbos. Tanya Nami Hachi, we found this support for this in a brisa. Om Rabbi Yossi Kishem Shasurim Liosid Lovo Kachasurim Lioso Shav. So explicitly, the brisa tells us that Rabbi Yossi was lesser. Now, how do we paskin in this machlokes about a mechitza or a kosa that fell during the course of Shavs? Itmar. Rav Chia bar Yosef Omer Alocha ki Rav Yosef Shmuel Omer Alocha ki Rav Yehuda. So Rav Chia is going to be Machmir, and even on this Shabbos itself it's going to be Asur for Tiltul, and Shmuel is going to be making. So Gemara says, Umi Amar Shul Hachi, I want to quote you a different statement of Shmuel that is irreconcilable with this statement of Shmuel that we paskin like Rav Yehuda. For Tnan regarding a Mishnah, back on Daf Pei Aleph, Om Rabbi Yehuda, B'mei Dvarav Amur B'Erev Tchumin Aval B'Erev Chatzeros, Ma'arvin, Bein Ladas, Bein Shalolidas. Lefisha Zochliolim Shalofon Vein Chavin Shalobafonov. And on this Mishnah, which we'll explain in just a minute. Omer Rav Yehuda Meshmuel. Halacha ke Rav Yehuda, who's matir this Erev Chatzeros. And the statement attributed to Shmuel doesn't just end with those three words, Halacha ke Rav Yehuda, but V'lo Od, but Shmuel decided that this was a good occasion to teach a much more far-reaching, absolute principle as far as Erevin is concerned, that Rav Yehuda is the kingpin in Erevin. Meaning, in any machlokas that you'll find, and there are many, throughout Masechta Erevin, we're always going to paskin like Rav Yehuda. That's the statement of Shmuel. Ela kol makom sheshana Rav Yehuda be'Erevin halacha kamoso. Now, so far, if I would freeze the frame at this point, everything seems to be great, because Shmuel said halacha Rav Yehuda in our Mishnah with the kosel that fell on Shabbos, and Shmuel pointed out that if there's any machlokas in Erevin between Rav Yehuda and Shmuel, and any of the other Tanoim, we're always going to consistently paskin like Rav Yehuda. So our Mishnah in the machlokas between Rav Yossi and Rav Yehuda is another case in point in which we have a machlokas between Rav Yehuda and another Tana, or even the Chachamim, in Erevin, and we're going to paskin like Rav Yehuda. He's the final word in Erev. If that be the case, so what's the Gemara's kasha? Ah, the kasha is the Amar Le Rav China Bagdisa L'Rav Yehuda. Amar Shmuel Afilu B'Mavui Shenital Koroso Olechio. What happens to the case of a Mavui? On Erev Shabbos, you had a lechi or a korah to be matted tiltul in the mavui. And now, it was removed on Shabbos. Are you willing to say that since halachic Rav Yehuda, straight across the board in Erevin, therefore, we should paskin that this mavui is still mutter betiltul, even though the mechitza went down on Shabbos, meaning the korah, which serves as a mechitza, closing off the fourth open side of the mavui, is down. The omer lay, and in order to reconcile, in other words, Shmuel agrees that in the case of a mavui, if the lechi, the korah, is removed on Shabbos, you're not allowed to carry the mavui, even though Rabbi Yehuda himself was matir. Apparently, Shmuel is not going to paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. And the question is, what about Erevin? Shmuel made a statement, he committed himself to the position that halachic Rabbi Yehuda be Erevin. So Amar Leh, he answers, be Erevin amarti lecha velo b'mechitzos. When Shmuel paskins like Rabbi Yehuda, that's only an Erevin. You want to know whether the Erev is reliable or not reliable. And we'll get back to the original machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim regarding Erev Chatzeros. We'll come back to that in just a minute. So there's a machlokas in Erevin. And Shmuel commits himself to Paschal like Rabbi Yehuda. However, as far as Mechitzos is concerned, that's not a loch in Erevin. You want to know what the status of a Mechitza is. If the mechitza was valid and reliable on Erev Shabbos, but now it fell, that's a question of Hilchas Mechitzos. That's not a question of Hilchas Erevin. So now it comes out that Shmuel doesn't paskin in our Mishnah like Rabbi Yehuda, because our Mishnah is debating the issue of the status of mechitza. So that's the Gemara's kash. We have now what seems to be an irreconcilable stira in Shmuel, because how could Shmuel paskin like Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah? And yet he himself says that in the case of Mavui Shenital Koroso Lechyo, it's also a taltel, because we don't paskin like Rabbi Yehuda in Mechitzos. So before we go on to the Gemara's answer, let's just take a break and speak about the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim regarding Erev Chatzeros. The Mishnah says that we cannot set up an Erev on behalf of someone else, Shalom Midaito, without his approval. Now, that applies stama, meaning straight across the board, to all categories of Erevin, whether it be Erev Tchumin or Erev Chatzeros. We cannot be good Samaritans and set up an Erev on behalf of someone without his approval. Rabbi Yehuda says, hold on, hold your horses. What kind of Erev are you talking about? If you're talking about an Erev Tchumin, then you're 1,000% right. But if you're talking about an Erev Chatzeros, we're going to apply the principle of Zoch L'Yodim Shelo B'Fanav. We don't need his approval, and the Erev Chatzeros is certainly valid. And what is the compelling logic of Rabbi Yehuda to differentiate between Erev Tchumin and Erev Chatzeros? It's the following. In the case of Erev Tchumin, the Erev itself has an element of Chova to it. It has a downside. What's the downside? Once you set up an Eruv, he can no longer go out of his Makom Shvisa beyond a radius of 2,000 Amma of the Eruv, wherever the Eruv was set up. So let's say, for example, you are very nice, you set up an Eruv Tchumen on my behalf on the outskirts of the city on the eastern side. Sounds like, you know, I owe you a great Hakar Satov. The only problem is, had you asked me, I would have told you that in the city next to our city, on the west, that's where I have to do a Nichum Avelim, or I have to be Mesameach Chasam V'Kal, I have to show up at a Shever Brachos. Now, as a result of the fact that you set up an Erev on my behalf on the east, I only have a radius of 2,000 Alma from that point on the east. That's where I was Kona Shvisa. I can no longer walk 2,000 Amma beyond the city limits on the west. Had you set up the Erev on the west, I would be a happy camper. So therefore, in every case of Erev Tchumen, if we don't have the approval of the person for whom the Erev was set up, it could be very well possible that that Erev is Lichovasa. He may lose by it because he wants to go west and not east. And therefore, Ein Chavin Liodim Shalom B'Fonav, Rabbi Yehuda says, now I understand very well, and I agree full-heartedly that there's no such thing as an Erev Tchumen Shalom Midaito. But in the case of an Erev Chatzeros, it's a win-win situation. He loses nothing. If I set up this Erev on behalf of one of the Bnei HaChatzer, which allows that person amongst all the Bnei HaChatzer to carry from their homes out into the Chatz on Shabbos, he, meaning the person for whom I set up the Erev Chatzeros, loses absolutely nothing. There's no downside. And therefore it's pure Zoch L'Yodim Shelo B'Fanav. And that's a machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim in Erevin. Shmuel says, we're going to paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. He's the final word in Erevin. Now you're asking me a different question, a question of mechitzos. What happens if a mechitza goes down on Shabbos? I hold that you can no longer rely on that mechitza. From the moment that that mechitza is down, you no longer have a head to tiltel. And therefore, I'm going to paskin against Rabbi Yehuda. But how do we reconcile that with the statement of Shmuel that halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda, that you're allowed to be metaltel for the entire balance of Shabbos, even though there was now a nefila of the mechitza? Om Rav Anan, l'didi mefarsha li mine de Shmuel. Shmuel explained to me his meaning, what he meant to say in his ruling, and based on that, there's no contradiction. And what is that? Kan shenifritzo l'karmelis, kan shenifritzo l'shusarabim. When Shmuel is matir tiltal in a chotzer for the balance of Shabbos, and he passes like Rabbi Yehuda, that just like at the onset of Shabbos, it was mutter b'tiltal because of that kosel, we're going to continue that heter tiltal during the course of Shabbos, the whole balance of Shabbos, that's a case of a chutzah that opens up into a karmelis, it opens up into a bikkah, which means that even in the worst case scenario, he would carry from the chutzah out of the entrance of his chutzah into the karmelis, he has violated only an isur tiltol dirabbanan, an isur karmelis dirabbanan, he has not violated an isur Torah. However, here, when Shmuel says Halach is not like Rabbi Yehuda, he's talking about a case of Nifritzol Rishus HaRabim, that this chatzah opens up into Rishus HaRabim. And here, Shmuel says that there's an Isur Tiltol, even for the balance of that Shabbos, because if we're going to allow him to be Metaltel, he may come to be Metaltel out of the chatzah area, out into the open area, which is, in this case, a Rishus HaRabim. If he does so, he is going to be violating an Isur Doraisa of Moleches Hotza. Now, just, I know we have to end soon. I just want to read to you a note here that I think embellishes what we discussed. He says, Inyan Erev Tchumim, Hu Kvius Shvisa May Erev Shabbos b'makom mesuyam, right? So we set up the Mazon Shtei Sudos in a place, and there he's koveh shvisa on Erev Shabbos. V'yachal through this Erev leilech misham alpayim amal l'chol ruach. So he says the following: if a person is located in a city, so he's allowed to on Shabbos go from one end of the city to the other. Doesn't matter how large of a metropolis it is. And in addition, we give him a radius of Alpayim Amma outside of the city limits, outside of the Chomas Sa'ir. However, let's say he wants to go 3,000 Amma out of the Chomas Sa'ir, towards the east. Then he needs an Erev Tchumin, and Tzorach Laniach Me'erev Shabbos Erev Tchumin B'merchak Aleh Elef Amma mi ha'ir litzad ha'mizroch. So he goes out to the outer boundary on the eastern side of the city, and that's where he sets up his eruv. And now he can go. He needs to get 1,000 amma to the east, which is shloshes alofim amma mi chomas ha'ir. Right. So from the outer boundary of the city, he's allowed 2,000 amma beyond without an eruv tchumen. Now he's allowed an additional 2,000 amma. So now he needs to go 1,000 amma beyond that, which means 3,000 amma from the city limits. And he's allowed to do it because of the Erev. But mi'idach, what's the downside of it? Eino rashoy me'ato with an ayin, lelech litzad mayrov, ela elef amma bilvat. We're only going to allow him to go on the western side, 1,000 amma. Shekein yeshlo mimakom shvisoso elef amma litzad mayrov ad lechoma seir. Umichoma seir hamaravit on the western side yeshlo od elef amma litzad mayrov. So now he's losing that ability to go on that side mitzad mayrov. Therefore, ein chavli adam shelo b'fan. So this leads us, Rabosai, to the Mishnah here at the end of Perek Kolagagos, the ninth Perek. I just want to add, as we end the Shia, the insight of the Gaon Yaakov on the Gemara above about a Korah al Gabi Mayim, and we said that the Korah is laid down in the middle of the bar between these two Chatzeros on the top of the bar. And the Gaon Yaakov says, L'chora pirish zeh eino misyashiv kan, sharei bi'ofen kazeh ein tzorch lo b'pitikra me'arba ruchos. The whole idea of the sugya is pitikra times four. Shekein yesh misaviv es mechitzas ha'chotzer. We have mechitzos around the chotzer. V'chein yesh mechitzos mishnei tzidei abor. U'bazeh sover rashi sha'af shmur modesh omrinon pitikra b'chol inyan. The Gemara here thinks that this depends on the machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. El behechrich tzorch lefarish bedas Rashi kan sherav Nachman omer v'shem Rabo shekora arba matira b'mayim b'chol inyan bein ba'ofen shimunachas al pi abor u bein ba'ofen sheish gizustera
me alamayim shetzorch lomer ba pi tikra me arba ruchos. So that's what the Gaon Yaakov says over here. Tomorrow, Mirtz Hashem, we'll do the Mishnah at the end of the